Now, I want to say to you, if you're visiting today, you're not in a place where we've got religion. This is not a religious place. Religion hasn't helped anybody. But what we would like for you to understand that being a Christian, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you meet Him by faith. And I pray that you will trust Him today if you don't know Him. If you do know Him, I pray you will grow closer to Him. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. We've been doing a little study in Sunday school. And why or what does the Word of God do? And we've just given little simple principles. Well, first of all, why is it important to have the Word of God? Because it tells us how to get to heaven. That's pretty important, isn't it? Then it tells us how to live once we get saved. It tells us how to live. The Bible teaches and tells us how to be right, how to do right, how to live right. Y'all want to live right, be right, do right? Well, we got to have the Bible. And then we also understand the Word of God helps us to have spiritual understanding. We ought to be able to understand spiritual things. You say, Pastor, how are you going to understand spiritual things? Well, you got to read the Word of God. He gives you light. Let me tell you something else the Word of God does. It increases our faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by sight. The just shall live by faith. And when we think about, I was giving this application to the young people. What about your faith? Faith has to be started. Trust. I asked one of the young people, said, well, I said, what does it mean? He said, you got to trust somebody. Well, let me ask y'all a question. Do you trust Jesus? We trust Him for our salvation, but then here's what's silly. We don't trust Him to lead us day by day. We can trust Him to save us from hell, which is absolutely impossible for us to be able to do, but yet we question Him as parents how He can lead our children. Faith, trust. Let me help you with something. Let me help me with something. If He can save my soul, if I can trust Him for that, I can trust Him for everything. But that comes by hearing the Word of God. You ever trusted Him and He's proved Himself? I gave the analogy. I have a 7mm 08. This man right here had to help me get it sighted in because I'd put the scope on wrong. But it's sighted in, Brother Gilly. And you say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Well, there's some proof to that. There's been a few deer hit the ground because of it. But you know what we do every year before we go hunting and just trust that that gun is on. You know what I do? I usually shoot it. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you doing? Are you putting faith in that gun? Yes, after I shoot it. Well, let me help you with Jesus. After you trust Him and after you know Him, He proves Himself. And once He saves you, you can trust Him forever. He proves Himself, just like that old gun that I pull out. Once I shoot it, I say, well, I can take it out with confidence. Well, praise God, once I know Jesus, I can trust Him. Faith, trust. By the way, you're going to trust something. You're going to trust something, so you might as well trust Jesus. Now, this morning, I would like for you to open the precious Word of God to the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. Now, I don't know this morning where you're at in life and what you're dealing with, but I want you to know something. What's getting ready to take place is serious stuff. Serious business. You say, well, Pastor, how serious is it? Well, you come with me, and if you've ever been to the side of someone taking their last breath, when I mean death is at the door, I'm going to be honest with you, I've never heard anybody talk about anything frivolous when they're getting ready to die. Right? Now, we don't know when that day is, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but it's amazing. We as human beings, we feel like that things are going to be the same all the time, and we're never going to have to get serious about something until we get older and things really start, you know, really come down to where it makes us think. We ought to be thinking now. Life is temporary. Church is not games and fun time and an image and we're just doing it because that's what we ought to be doing. I mean, I hope that we're realizing that what we're doing here is the greatest work on earth. I mean, we're dealing with the souls and the lives and the futures of people. I mean, I'm going to be quite honest with you, and I want to just put it into perspective because I'm going to be honest. It's even sad that we have to mention it, but we get so caught up in, like, hobbies and sports and, like, let me just help you. Like, with whatever happened yesterday, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's even really funny and a joke for me to even bring it up. It's not even the same planet. But whatever happened yesterday is not as important as where you'll spend eternity.
And and I'm going to be honest with you, we're in such a day now where people are so honed in on this temporary stuff and they're missing the eternal stuff. God help us. I hope we don't fall trapped to that, church. And I'm talking now, this is serious stuff. We're dealing with the hearts and the souls and the lives and the futures of people. The decisions we make today could affect someone's future or someone's destiny. You say, really, Pastor, just based on this message? Yes, just based on this message. Let's say that we hear this message and we walk right out this door and absolutely know it's true, but just say it's not important to do. Think of how that will affect your life and someone else's life. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you say, oh, that's good and everything, that was a good message and I'm sure they believe that, but you walk out this door and you don't do anything with what you don't make a decision in a positive way to allow the Word of God to affect your heart. You say, could it really affect my future? Yes, it really could, because if you walk out this door lost, it could be the last time you ever hear it, but you're responsible, and it could be, you never know. The Bible says that we're all created and all of us are going to meet that day that we die, and we do not know that day that we die. So this isn't something to play with. It's not like a campaign speech. It's not like a sales pitch. Because if you really don't buy that car, you're going to be okay. You're not going to have a payment book. But I'm going to promise you this, if you neglect truth, your soul will be required. There will be accountability. So this is serious stuff. So let's get in the mood to really understand. I'm not just reading a book. I'm reading the book, God's Word, that He's revealed to us. What a teacher, and I love when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, He was the most simple, most powerful teacher, preacher that's ever walked. In chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 1, you'll notice the Bible says the same day, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many of you have ears? Then use them tonight, this morning. Let him hear. Now, do we want to read that again? Here's the greatest teacher that has ever stepped foot on earth. By the way, He's not just a man, He's God-man. He's 100% God, 100% man. God robed in the flesh, humbled Himself to come to this earth and be subject to His own creation. That amazes me. We don't like to submit to anybody. He submitted to the people He created. And He did it because He loved us. But the Bible says that, and by the way, we had this little thought in our mind that just this little ragtag group followed Jesus around like it was a small group. No, the Bible says great multitudes came to hear Him speak. The Bible said in this passage that there was such a great multitude that they couldn't even see Him on land, so He thrust out into a ship off of the land just a little bit, and all the people sat there, and the Bible said He began to teach. And it amazes me that He says He taught them many things through parables. Now, we're not going to do a study or a series on parables. We could, and we've done that before. But when we think about this first parable that we find recorded in the Word of God, the Bible says He spoke to them in parables. The word parable means to cast alongside. So many people have said, well, it's a physical or a practical situation that speaks to a spiritual truth. And I believe that's true. I think that is accurate. But I'm thinking, as the Lord Jesus, God, robed in flesh, if that's the way he chose to speak and to teach, it'd be a pretty good method for us to teach and speak to. Bringing practical things down that everyone can understand and make a spiritual application. By the way, every parent ought to always be using things in life and applying spiritual applications to your child. You say, Pastor, where do we get that? We get that from God. He's the greatest teacher. He's the greatest communicator. So he used practical teachings that everyone understood. And by the way, he used farming and sowing and gardening to teach a powerful truth. So here's the parable. The sower, the seed, and the soil. That's the three things that I think we need to look at in this parable. The sower, we find that there was a sower. The Bible does not tell us anything about this sower. We don't know his age. We don't know how long he had been sowing. We don't know how old he was. We don't know how seasoned he was as maybe a gardener or someone trying to raise a harvest. We don't know any of that. But I'll tell you one thing we do know. He certainly was sowing seed. Can I say, when we think about this passage of Scripture, let's look at his wisdom just a minute. We don't know anything about how old he was. We don't know how tall he was. We don't know how he looked. We don't know if he had a business degree. We don't know what kind of education he had, but we learned something about wisdom. He learned this. The Bible said that he had seed, and he had enough wisdom to know that there would be no fruit, there would be no growth, there would be no harvest until that seed was given out. There's the wisdom. How about us? It does not take an agricultural degree to realize and have wisdom to know this, that there will be no tomatoes if we don't put out a what first? Seed. There'll be no corn unless you put seed out to have corn. There'll be no tree unless the tree is seeded. And so we understand that we were talking about the sower, and he's wise because he understood that the seed had to be cast out. Now let me bring that to spiritual, and he brings this to spiritual application here in just a minute. But we understand, if we understand this truth, and by the way, we know the seed is the word of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because in Luke chapter 8 verse 11, he said, and the seed is the word of God. So this man was sowing out seed, but it's a spiritual picture. As Christians, we should be sowing and giving seed. What's the seed? The word of God. Wisdom is this. We know that there'll be no fruit, there'll be no harvest unless the seed is planted. Unless it's cast out. And that's what Brother Clay taught last week on Sunday seminar, how to lead a soul to Christ. Listen, we won't lead any soul to Christ if the word of God's not given. We've got to sow the seed. You say, Pastor, why is it so important that we're going around this month and we're handing these things out? Don't you think people get tired of seeing these things? Maybe so. And sometimes I get tired of seeing tomato plants, but I ain't never had any trouble eating the tomatoes. Listen to me. This is seed. This is the good news of the gospel. Realize you are a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, can I say to everyone here just a second? That's bad news. Do you understand that you're a sinner? You say, oh, Pastor, I'm not a sinner. My little boy's not a sinner. My little girl's not a sinner. No, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us can sit here today and say, oh, we've never thought anything bad. We've never lied. We've never stolen. We've never had envy. We've never had bitterness. We've all sinned. The Bible says we were born in sin, and the Bible says we've all sinned. But you know what? We need to realize there's a price for sin. For the wage of sin is death. How many of y'all work? How many of y'all get paid weekly or biweekly? How many of you get paid weekly? Would you raise your hand? How many of you get paid biweekly? How many of you get paid a different way? Nonetheless, you know what that is? That's a wage. That's what you deserve. When you took that job, you agreed upon a wage for that employer to pay you, and so you're working a certain amount of hours a week, and you are earning what they deserved or told you you deserved to get, and that's your wage. Notice us, what we deserve, because we're a sinner. For the wages of sin is death. You understand, that's what we deserve, Brother Chris. We deserve death. The Bible says that our wage of sin, it deserves death. It's the wage of sin is death. Because we're all sinners, we deserve and die to go to hell. Why? Because our sin separates us from God. That's bad news. But I want you to know something. It also says, realize Jesus paid the price for your sin. Now we're getting to the good stuff. See, here's what's amazing in this day we're living. And people, they're trying everything in the world instead of just trusting what Jesus said. Well, what's going to happen when you die? Well, I think I'll be all right. Well, wouldn't you like to know? I've said to some people, say, hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Pastor. I'm going to split hell wide open and I'm going to have fun in hell. Listen to me. There's no fun in hell. The Bible says that it's a place where the worm dieth not. There's no bottom. There's no bottom to hell. The Bible says it's a place of torments, not torment, torments. You say, oh, I just can't believe a holy, loving God would send anybody there. He doesn't. We do by rejecting His way. His way is Jesus. If Jesus Christ didn't have to come here to pay for our sin, I promise you this, He wouldn't have come. But because we're sinners and because He loved us and He wanted to pay for the sin, that's why He robed Himself in flesh. That's why He came to this earth and He went to the cross and He paid for our sin. What good news! I mean, that'll make anybody's day better. I mean, that's like me going up here to the Chinese restaurant and somebody paying my bill off. He paid my salvation bill off. I owed it. I deserved it. But Jesus loved me enough to give it to me and pay for it with His own blood. That's good news. You say, Pastor, people get tired of hearing it. I don't know why. It's the best news I've ever heard. It helps me to go to bed at night and say, you know what we ought to do? You ought to sow it. Just sow it. Give it. Put it in your envelopes. Go to the restaurant. Put it there with... Put a tip down and put a good tip down with the seed and it will do better fruit than just putting a cheap 50 cents down. But listen to me, sow it. That's what the sower did. He had wisdom. He sowed the seed. So we see the wisdom as he sowed it. Number two, the work of the sower. Now there's no doubt this sower knew something about that seed. He knew that that seed could do something. But his knowledge of that didn't help a bit. Now, y'all stay with me. Boy, I know a lot of Christians, including myself, that we step back and we say, oh, I know Jesus saves, and I know the law of harvest, of reaping and sowing, and I know if you're going to get plants, you got to put the seed out, but you know what I've learned? Brother Bill McCoy, not one tomato plant has ever been enjoyed until somebody goes out there in the hot sun and puts it in the ground. There's got to be work. By the way, the Bible doesn't say, oh, the sower knew how powerful that seed is. So many Christians want to talk about how much they know. I'm not interested in how much you know. People aren't interested in how much I know. It's how much I do. Sitting around talking about stuff all the time and never doing. The Bible says he went out and he sowed. He actually took the gospel. He actually took the flyers and went to his neighbors and sowed. Why? Because he was wise, but he was willing to work. By the way, that's what church is. That's what ministry is. It's work. It's sowing. He had a work. We have a work here, church. You say, Pastor, what's my work? Your work is to sow seed. You say, Pastor, I'm back here in the nursery. What's so important about the nursery? Well, you're watching those children so the seed can be sown to their parents. You say, Pastor, I got a class over here on Wednesday night. What am I supposed to do? Teach them how to be a better citizen? No. Give them the Word of God. Sow the seed in their heart. Don't go over there and just teach them cute little stories with good moral illustrations. Give them the Word of God. Sow the seed. You say, Pastor, what will help my children the most? Give them the seed. Give them the seed. Give them the seed. Teach them the seed. By the way, live the seed. Live the seed. Sow the seed. Work. Do your best to allow yourself to cast the seed. We must sow the seed. Must sow. By the way, we got good seed. How many of you are glad someone gave you the seed? So we understand the sower. He had wisdom. He had a work. It's not enough to know, church. It's not enough to know. We could win every Bible, listen, what's that where you ask questions and trivia. We can know every Bible trivia question in the world. That don't save a lost world. I'm going to tell you what it needs. We need to sow the seed. Give the seed. Work at it. Visit your neighbors. Make phone calls. Get on Facebook. Hand them out in your neighborhood. He had to work. He sowed. Can I say the sower? But notice the seed. Luke 8:11 says this. The seed is the word of God. Now that's a parallel passage to this parable. Now I want you to notice, you'll turn over here to Matthew, the same chapter, verse 13. I want you to notice to go over here to verse 18. The Lord Jesus explains this parable to these people. I want you to notice what he says in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, in other words, something of a storm came, with joy receiveth it. Yea, hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed under the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now the Lord Jesus explained that parable. He said there was a sower that went out and he sowed seeds, physical seed, but he was bringing a physical application to a spiritual closing and said, but now listen, the seed is the word of God and you ought to be preaching and giving and casting the word of God. And when you do that, there's possibility with that seed. And so let's look at the seed. It's the word of God. We must sow it. We must give it. We must share it. We must preach it. We must cast it out. And we understand when it goes out. We understand, number one, I believe, and I hope you believe, this seed is powerful. Now, if you could take one little old tomato plant, one little old tomato seed, it just takes a small one. They dry them things out. You know, there's hundreds in one tomato. They dry them out. They take that one little seed that they dry out and they plant in and they bring up a plant. Do you know how many tomatoes you get off that plant? Well, I heard someone the other day say, man, here's what they said. They said, boy, we planted too many tomato plants. What were they telling me about them plants? They had too many tomatoes. But I'm glad when people plant too many. Somebody give me a witness. Are y'all with me today? How many of y'all glad your neighbors and your friends and your family plant too many tomato plants? That means they share the bounty. That means you might get one of them good maters and steal one of them hothouse maters that ain't got no taste to it. Somebody say amen. Y'all with me? I'm starting to see some of you starting to wake up a little bit. Took food to do it, but hey. But listen, I'm saying to you, we understand if a little old seed of a tomato has power enough to produce more tomatoes, think about the power of this seed once it's planted. Can I say the power? The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what the word of God in this seed is able to do? It's living. It's a living word. How could something over through the period of 1,400 years be written years ago and still be effective? I'm going to tell you why, because it's a living word. Hey, can I say it's able? Let me tell you what else this Bible verse says in Hebrews 4:12. It will discern your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Tell me somebody else that can do that. Oh, we think we can discern people's hearts and thoughts, but most of the time we're wrong. But I can promise you this, God's not. The word of God can tell you what you're struggling with before you ever voice it. Don't try to be con artist with God because he's already beat you there. His word knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart. There's no way of conning God.
Boy, doesn't the Word of God just cut to the quick? You ever been in something in your life, and I'm going to be honest, there's been times that I've been dealing with something in my life, and man, I'll go to church or I'll go to a preaching service, and I'll sit in that pew. And by that time, that preacher, I don't know him. I haven't seen him. He doesn't know anything about me. And he gets up and starts preaching, and it's like he's been in my bedroom. How's that happen? Well, I can promise you this, it ain't the preacher. It's the Word of God that cuts down to the quick. Let me tell you something else that the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is powerful and quick and sharper than any two. I'm going to tell you what else it'll do. It'll convict you of sin. You know why we don't like reading the Bible? We don't like what we read. You know why most people won't read the Bible? Because they don't want to line up with the Bible. Now, how about we just read the Bible and let God convict our hearts? Conviction's good for us. Now, it don't feel good, but it's good for us. The Word of God, it's so powerful it convicts us. You know what else the Word of God does? It's powerful. It changes us. Well, brother, you were singing that song. You said, hey, how do I know? It's changed me. Are you changed today? Here's what amazes me. We live in a world where everybody's trying to get help. It amazes me. It amazes me where people run to and fro to go get help. They're struggling, they're dealing with this and all this. And here's all I want to ask to them. Here's what I want to do. After they go to all that stuff and they do all that stuff, here's all I want to ask. Is it helping? Does that help? Is that helping you? Well, if they're going to be honest with me, I'm going to tell you what they're going to say. No, not really. That's just what so-and-so told me to do. No. Not what so-and-so told you to do. Is it helping you? Let's just get honest. Does it help? Can anybody help me with my mind? Yeah, one. No man here. But the one who created me can. But see, we feed on all this stuff. What everybody tells us, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. No, listen to me. The Word of God is powerful. But you know why we don't like it? You know, because that verse is still in the Bible. Still in the Bible. I can do all things through Christ. But we use that verse when it's convenient for us to use that verse, but when we face something we don't really want to do, well, then we start turning the Word and say, oh, well, that don't apply to me. Well, wait a minute. It applied to your sister. It applied to your brother. It applied to your friend. Why don't it apply to you? No, it applies to you too. Because look here, God will help you. You can do all things through Christ. There's power in that. I thought I'd get a shout right there. But today I can't do that. Well, wait, whoa. Who told you that? God didn't. Maybe society told you. Maybe culture told you. Wait a minute. We need to start getting into the power of the Word of God. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to what? We're being led to everything today. How about we just take the Word of God and be led to the rock? He's higher than me. He can get me above the snake line. He's my rock. I'm not trusting myself anyway. I got to get on Him. See, the Word of God is powerful if we'll apply it. But you know what I've learned? Us Christians have become a bunch of con artists. That's not what that verse means. Well, wait a minute. It means what it says and says what it means. But my question is, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That means He's higher than me, and there's times my heart's overwhelmed. I got to get help. He didn't say to go all here to and fro to get help. He said, get to the rock. I know who the rock is. Jesus is the rock. And can I help everybody here? You better get to Him. You're going to search this world over and you'll never find what He'll give you. I'm going to tell you what the world will give you. They'll give you another hog pen. It looks like a field, but when you get done, it'll be a pig slop. It'll be pig pen. It'll be a muddy field. You'll mess it up. Trust me. The world will chew you up and spit you out, but I'll tell you what, the Lord will help you. He'll help you endure all things. He will sustain you through the night. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? When my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. I've been led to that rock, Brother Mike, and I want to tell you something right now. He ain't false advertisement. He's helped me through many nights that I didn't even want to wake up and pick my pillow off the head the next day. He didn't. I got to get the head on the pillow, right? Didn't even want to take my head off the pillow.
So we got the seed. It's powerful. But let me just say this. There's potential in the seed. Now, here's where I want to give an application quickly. I wish I could tell you that every time you throw that seed out, that something pops up. I wish that I could tell you that every time I preach, because not every time I preach, everybody's listening. Some people's looking on their phones. Some people's writing notes. Some people are, you know, they might be playing footsie underneath the pew. I don't know, but not every time I preach, people listen. I wish I could say to you that every time I preached, that everybody in that building was completely locked in and was hungry for what was being said. But I want you to know the truth is there's been many times I've sowed and it's not hit the right ground. Not every time I've thrown out a gospel tract or given a gospel tract to someone has it hit the right kind of ground. But here's what keeps me doing it is the potential of it. The Bible says that, hey, it will hit some on that 30-fold, Brother Don, but it will hit on some of that 60-fold, but hey, it will have potential to hit 100-fold. Can I just give you a little illustration to kind of nail this down? When we think about the seed and the potential that it has, and when we start trying to guide and touch people's life with the Word of God and what kind of an impact that it can have. For example, a Sunday school teacher by the name of Mr. Kimball, he reached a shoe clerk one day. Do you know who that shoe clerk was that he led to the Lord? He's just a little old humble shoe clerk. You know who that man was? That man's name was D.L. Moody. They had no idea when Mr. Kimball led Mr. Moody to the Lord that he'd become an evangelist and over 1 million people would come to Christ. And by the way, Mr. Moody shook 2 continents for God. No one would have ever known when he met that little old shoe clerk in that store that day that he was going to be a great evangelist preacher that would shake 2 continents for God. Here's what's amazing about that. Mr. Moody became an evangelist, and in England in 1979, he went and preached a service, and there was a pastor there that was discouraged, and his name was F.B. Meyer. And he enlightened and absolutely lit the fire in F.B. Meyer's soul, and boy, he became a flame for God, and he started to work for the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you what, he brought a student in that used to be he brought a student in. That's right. He brought in a student that was named J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman was a great servant of God. And guess who J. Wilbur Chapman brought in and started working with him, got him into evangelism? A guy by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday went down to Charlotte, preached a series of messages down there. There was people there in Charlotte that got so excited. There was a revival that took place in Charlotte, North Carolina. They started bringing other preachers in. And they brought in a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. And when Mordecai Ham preached the gospel, a little old boy was sitting in there that day, and his name was Billy Graham, and he got saved. Now, I can't say to you that I agree with everything Billy Graham did, but I'll tell you one thing. When you turn on the television and Billy Graham was on there preaching, I'm going to tell you one thing you heard the gospel. So let me help every Sunday school teacher. Let me help every Wednesday night teacher. Let me help every children's church teacher. You say, well, I just don't know what I have in front of me. Neither did Mr. Kimball. That's why every time you stand up in front of a class, that's why every time you come here and do anything in this church, you ought to give it your best. You ought to give the Word of God. You ought to have some fire in your soul. You ought to have absolutely, you ought to give it your all. Why? Because you don't know who's sitting there. The potential of that seed. You say, Pastor, why do you get cranked up every Sunday morning? Because I know the potential of the seed. Not about me, it's about Him. It's about the Word of God. And look, if you're here today and you're as cold and as hard as a rock, listen to me, this seed can bust through it. Can I say the seed, the sower, but quickly the soil? That's kind of the application as I close this morning. This is an amazing passage of Scripture that we all could relate to, the soil. There's 4 types of soil here that He brings out. And by the way, if you've not realized it now, that soil is our hearts. And I've seen all 4 of these types of soil. Not only in life, as I've seen people plant things, and I've planted a few things, I've seen all these soils, but I've certainly now in the ministry over 20 years, I've seen all 4 of these soils in the types of the hearts of people. By the way, I see some here this morning. The first one that he deals with is the trampled soil.
Look at verse 4. The Bible says that it's the soil that the Word of God fell on, the truth fell on, and the Bible says it was wayside. In other words, this was wayside. This was ground that was trampled on. It was done, got hard. It had not been plowed up. And so you see the picture. The Word of God was sent, the cast, the seed was cast, but it hit that old hard soil and it didn't go down. It didn't receive it. So what happened? The birds came and ate it because it stayed on top. I've seen a lot of times the Word of God preach, and here's what happens. We're so hard, our hearts have gotten hard. Maybe you're in sin right now. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in sin and you're condoning it, I'm going to promise you everything I've said today has bothered you. That's why people leave churches. Most people leave churches and say they're leaving church because, you know, something happened. No, what happened is they've engaged in some kind of sin and their heart's gotten hard and they don't want to hear it no more. They're just tired of hearing it. The seed's getting sucked, but it's not getting down. Why? Because that old heart, maybe you've been hurt. I don't know anything could trample your heart down. I mean, you could get hurt. And by the way, that's not your fault. Maybe a preacher, I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, I just don't go to church anymore because a preacher hurt me. Well, I wouldn't let that preacher let me go to hell. It's not the preacher's fault. Not every preacher's like that. And by the way, your preacher's a sinner. And look at me, eyeball to eyeball, I will fail you. I'm not playing hide and seek with you. I've never stood up here and told you that I'm going to be perfect because I'm just a sinner just like you. Your confidence and faith shouldn't be in me, it should be in God. But I've heard people say, I don't go to church anymore because of the preacher. Well, look, if that's what you come for, you're hard ground. Your heart's gotten hard, listen to me. You need to get that stuff out of there and let God speak to you now. No matter what so-and-so did 20 years ago, if it's hardened your heart, you're the one that's going to pay for it. Let your heart get tender. Be good ground. Don't be hard ground. Don't be trampled ground. Then the Bible says that it fell on stony ground. I call this thin ground. Now, we all know what that means. You got to have some depth and ground for a seed to take root. But a stony ground means that there's like maybe a little bit of dirt on top, but there's a stone. And so what happens is that can't penetrate. So it takes a little bit of root, and then all of a sudden, here comes a great washout and some rain. A storm comes. What happens to that little plant? That little plant gets washed away. And boy, I've seen that so many times in church. People get in, boy, they get excited. They're all excited. Boy, they're all on fire. Next thing you know, the worst little thing happened. Well, I just didn't think God would let this happen to me, so I'm getting out. Can I help everybody here just a second? Storms are going to hit your life, saved or not saved. But I promise you this, I'd rather have Jesus if they're going to hit. I'd rather have the captain of the ship if they're going to hit. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Well, I'll tell you right now, I thought God was better than that. I didn't. Well, look, you're living in life where bad things are going to happen. Life's life. Things are unfair. So get you some root. By the way, that's another reason why we come to church. I get help. You know what I do, Brother Jeremy? I come around here and I realize other people have had some storms. And you know what? I realize they've gotten through them. And I ask them, who's got you through it? And they'll say, Jesus. Well, if Jesus has got them through it, Brother Milford, I just feel like he can get me through it. People want to minimize church attendance. Though, oh, we don't need to go. Well, man, I need y'all. I don't know about y'all. Y'all might not need me, but I sure do need y'all. I need people like the Ramies that are struggling with hell things, and boy, they just keep on, it's keeping on, keeping on, and keeping on. I need people like that in my life. I need people that's just recently gotten touched of God, and they realize they need some work in their things, and boy, they just get in and start coming, man. They just get all in. I need people like that. I need you. But can I say the potential of this word, and we think about the ground, we talked about trampled soil, thin soil, get you some root. Can I say this? There was a thorny soil. In other words, these thorns and thistles came up along with the seed. And here's what this is a picture of. And by the way, I've seen this a many times. We live in this temporary world. By the way, the world, what they give you is thorns. Thorns only last a while. Thorns aren't of any good. But what happens is I've seen so many families, boy, they get their roots so deep. They get saved. They're good people. I'm not saying they're not good people. They're great people. They've just let the thorns and the thistles of this life become more important than the things of God.
That's what that verse means. It's come on the thing, and they got saved, and they've grown for a little while, and pretty soon the world comes in. They start going bleakety bleak, come over here, get involved in this. And by the way, the world's got all kinds of stuff for you to get involved in, and you can get involved in it, but the question is, where's it going to leave you? That's what happens. You say, Pastor, why did Demas forsake the Lord loving this present world? What happened? Thorns got in there. Can I help everybody here? Let's make application. I'm going to close in like 3 minutes. There's people not sitting in here this morning that I thought would be sitting here. I've been in this thing over 20 years. There's people that if you'd have told me 15 years ago they wouldn't be in church anymore, they would denounce God and some of them would become an atheist, I'd look at you and say, you're crazy. There are young men and young women that I've seen have a heart for God and absolutely was involved in everything this church had to do, and they were involved in mission trips, and they were involved in dealing with everything under the sun, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, things start to change. And if you'd have told me that would have changed, I'd have looked at you and said no and say, are you talking about those people? No, I've got you in front of me and I've got me standing here, and here's what we better do. We better guard the thorns in our lives. Can I help every young married couple here just a second? Every married person here, can I help you? If you don't keep things in check, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Your marriage is the most important thing you got going on, and there's nothing else that should be sacrificed for it than not for your marriage. Amen, preacher. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care what you're doing. What happens when you have all that money and you have nobody to share it with? We live in a day where we've made all this stuff so important. Fame and popularity and money and possessions and popularity and fame and possessions and neighborhood popularity. We've made that stuff so important. Thorns, I tell you. Listen to me. Your preacher telling you. Thorns. They're thorns. They choke the best things out of your life if you don't keep it in check. Preach on, preacher. Thank you, preacher. I appreciate you loving me. We're trying to warn you. Thank you for warning me. Now, that might not have anything to do with you today, but I promise you, if you live long, it will be something you face, especially if you have a growing family. Promise you. Something you're going to have to struggle and deal with constantly. The thorns. Someone say, well, I tell you what, some of them kids, they just don't get to do anything. No, wait a minute. They got to do a lot. But there was tried to be some wisdom on the side of the people raising them to make sure they wasn't getting involved in too many thorns to where that become more important than the eternal things. The soil, trampled soil, thin soil, thorny soil, but praise God for this good soil. Tender soil. You know, I tell you what, here's a tender. Tender. There's been some times in my life I've been more tender than others. I'm going to tell you when I've been the most tender, when I've been broke. When everything around me hasn't worked out like I thought it was going to work out. But I'll tell you right now, I thank God that He can work in our hearts if we will be tender. Can I ask you a question this morning as I close? Are you tender? Was there a time in your life that you used to sit, man, you couldn't wait for preaching, you couldn't wait, you listen to CDs in the car all the time, or now you got sermon audio, man, you just can't wait, why? Because you know you need help, and you're just tender. You know what happens when that seed hits tender ground? The Bible says it starts producing fruit. Some 20-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to be some good ground. Now listen, the world will beat you up. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. And if you're not careful, all of those things will affect the soil of your heart. Let's get rid of all that and say, Lord, between me and you, I don't want nothing between me and you. I want to be tender to receive what you have for me.
get ready for some serious harvest. The power of this seed hitting tender, plowed ground is amazing. If you're here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior. You've heard the gospel. Jesus Christ is not one of the ways. He is the way. He loves you. He died for you. He'll save you. Would you trust Him today? If you're here today and you're not in love with Him as much as you should, Christian, I say to you, you ought to be more in love with Him today, be more tender towards Him today than ever. Receive His Word. That's why you ought to be back tonight to hear the Word. Tonight, you know what we're going to be teaching? I'm not going to be preaching. Clay's going to be doing seminar Sunday tonight. It's on discipleship. And you know what's important about discipleship? You can't disciple what you aren't. How can you disciple? You're only going to disciple who you are. God help us to be who we should need to be. Let's stand on our feet.